The cow is up there because the idea of biblical meditation comes from this. Shepherds, King David is looking in the field, seeing the cows, thinking about how they eat their food. And a cow, do you know how many stomachs a cow has? Four. I thought it was five, but four will do. Now, without... Enough for you. You'll get a sweet, don't you worry. You'll get one. Right, four stomachs. And the reason is they chew on the grass and swallow it. And then without being too disgusting about it, stick it up again into their mouth and start chewing it again. And then it goes, swallows down to the second stomach, and more goodness is taken out of it into the body. And then regurgitates it and chews it again, and then swallows it down and keeps doing that process until all the goodness is taken out of the grass. And it's a constant thinking and rereading of Scripture that we take as an idea from that. So I'm not talking about the transcendental meditation where you kind of clear your mind and go off somewhere, but you constantly think over the Word of God. And that's what God means when he says all throughout the Psalms and in the Old Testament, meditate on my Word. So we're going to do that right now with the kids here. They can do this because all you've got to do is sit still and close your eyes. And I am going to read out to you this verse and get you to think about it in different ways by the impression that I put on various parts of the verses. But I believe as we do this, we get strong in faith, because do you know how faith comes? By hearing. That's it. We believe the Holy Spirit comes upon us because we believe, and we believe God's Word also. So close your eyes and let me speak these words. This is a prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And I'm going to read it out a number of times. So children, if you just want to sit quietly and listen to these very simple line of the Bible and let God speak directly to you from his Word. Lord Jesus, come now, we pray, in your power. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Just think on that for a minute. Get all the goodness out of it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Just get more goodness out of that. Think on it. Children, if you're sitting with your parents, just carry on concentrating on these words as I speak them out. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. The old has gone. The new has come. These are God's words speaking directly to you. Speaking these words of promise to you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. The old has gone. Old hurts. Old failures. Old sins. Old mistakes. Old errors. Old abuse, old pain, old unforgiveness, old anything, it's gone. It has gone. And the new has come. The new love, the new hope, new faith, new forgiveness, new joy, new life, new power, new grace, new mercy. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Now, just where you are now, you start saying those words to yourself, just under your breath to yourself, repeat it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And then personalize it and say, I am in Christ. I'm a new creation. My old life has gone. My new life has come. Just personalize it again. I am a new creation. I am in Christ. The old is gone, and my new life has come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, we are completely liberated from the past. Thank you, Lord, we're completely forgiven. Thank you, Lord, we're completely healed. All memories, all hurts, all pains, all failures, all things associated with our past, thank you, Lord, in you they are dead and buried. The old has truly gone. It's gone so far, it's dead. We thank you, Lord, for your truth. The new has come. We thank you, Lord, for the new life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. That's so good, isn't it? Just thinking on the word and letting God's word speak to you sets you free. It's amazing. Okay.
And today I'll be talking about I am a son. And the focus for the scripture today will be about inheritance. As sons of Christ, we're expected to have inheritance. And the focal scripture for today will be in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26. And there are two in Galatians. There will be three and there will be four. But I'll start with the chapter 3, verses 26. It says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized in Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Chapter 4, verses 7. And it says, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir to the throne. The Bible and the gospel is about a king and a kingdom. So sitting here today, we're all Christians. So we are all heir apparent to that wonderful kingdom. It is important as Christians to understand what our entitlements are. Let's bring this back home. The British royal family is one of the most powerful kingdoms on earth. Vast amount of estates. Commands one of the largest armies the world's ever known. Royal guards. Chariots. Gold-plated. Cars, you name it. And out of all the princes we have, let's pick the one, the next in line, the heir apparent, the Prince of Wales. For the prince to partake or inherit or be next in line, he has to be born in the royal house. You can't be nominated. He has to abide by certain rules. The prince can't come up and say, do you know what? I'm moving to America. I'm going to get a job there. He cannot do it. If he does that, the next will join in and he'll lose his inheritance. He has to be trained in the military. He has to conduct himself in a certain way, in public and in royal court. This is so for us as heirs to the throne of God. So as we focus today on what we ought to do to inherit the blessings of God, You can buy a ticket and visit one of the castles. That doesn't make you a royal. Doesn't mean you can inherit it. So you can be in church. Visit the church. That doesn't mean you partake in that blessing. You can call your son Charles if you want. That doesn't guarantee him anything at all. Or Williams. It does not entitle you to nothing. So you can call yourself a Christian. But are you really entitled? So what we ought to look at today are, what are those entitlements? What are those blessings? The king we serve is more powerful than any king that would ever live in the future and the past. Wealthier. It took two angels to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Two angels. I don't think they need even one to destroy this country if they had to. More powerful than any army on earth. We here today, if we abide by those rules, are all heir apparents to that kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? Now let's look at some of the entitlements if we abide by those rules. And I'll be reading six scriptures. The first will be in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7. It says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek anything, and you will find in my name. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. I don't think there's any king that's ever lived that can guarantee you that. Not now, not in the past. Not Solomon with all his wisdom. Not David. The next scripture is in Psalm 34, verses 19. We live in a very troubled world. Believers and unbelievers face all kinds of torments, suffering, pain, anxiety, anger. But our King says, many are the affliction of the righteous, but he guarantees that the Lord will deliver us out of them all. He didn't say many are the afflictions of the sinners, the righteous. We ought to be righteous to be partakers of that inheritance. There's no option. So as the king can't abdicate the throne and go to the US and live a new life, we can't be sinners. We cannot harbor hate, anger, resent towards our neighbors and still be partakers of this. The next scripture, the fourth, will be in Deuteronomy 31 and 6. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Friends can leave you. In most cases, family can leave you too. Anxiety can come. But our King, that is wealthier than any king, has said to us, be strong and courageous. Let's press on. In Exodus 14, verses 4, the Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. That's it. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It doesn't matter who you're up against, what you're up against. The Lord will fight for you. But you have to abide by those rules. In Luke chapter 1, verses 37, it says, for with God, nothing is impossible. Our King can raise the dead. Our King can heal all type of illnesses. I don't think there's any physician today that can heal pride. There is no cure for pride or anger or resent. You cannot buy any medication in shop. But our God can do that. If this scriptures is all you have to know or ever read in your lifetime, you're guaranteed success. So how do we become entitled to these? The Bible clearly states, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God. Not by your works, so that no one can boast." You cannot work your way to heaven. Even if you gave your whole earnings to the church, or arrived at church at 7 p.m., or hugged everyone on the street, that cannot make you or get you a space in heaven. We'd have to adhere to those fine prints, those clauses. In the book of John, the Bible says, John chapter 3, verses 5-6. And these were the words of Jesus. It says, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit." Our God is a spirit and must be worshipped in spirit. We have to confess our sins. We have to seek God's presence continually. Now, these are not a lot to ask for, to become a part of one of the wealthiest kingdoms in the heavens and on the earth. As a citizen of this country, or as a subject, if you didn't abide by certain rules, your entitlements will be taken away. So it is in the heavens. But God is more merciful. He's loving. He can forgive you as much. In America, there are 3 strikes and you're out. In heaven, not so. But that's not a guarantee that you can keep committing sin, because that grieves the Holy Spirit. So for us to partake in these blessings, and to bear that title, the sons of God, the Bible says in Romans, we have to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that he was raised from the dead, and we shall be saved. And we shall be saved. And if we call upon his name, we shall be saved. So I just want to encourage us, in our quiet time, should we fall short of his glory, and even when we sin, to go back to him, because he is loving. He is not man. His promises never change. He will always fight for you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You don't have to be born in a royal court. You could be born wherever you are in the world. In the Netherlands, in America, so long as you call upon his name and believe in your heart that he is Lord, you will be saved. You will be backed by one of the strongest armies that has ever lived. You do not have a sophisticated phone to ring the military. All you need to do is kneel and pray. Church, we have to be awake. We have to be sensitive. The times are changing. The enemy is out to kill, to steal and destroy, to confuse us, to take our peace away. All we need to do is abide by these rules, call upon the name of our Lord, and we have access. Just as we prayed in Corinthians, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. So it doesn't matter where you've been, what you've been through, what you're going through. In him, you are new. There are no records of your sins. There are no records of your sins. And as we know, today is Pentecost. When we lead a life void of sin, something magical happens. We bear the gift of the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, you can do all things. He's your personal bodyguard, your personal advisor, tells you what's right. And how do you know the Holy Spirit abides in you? He will never tell you to do something wrong. He will never tell you hurt that person. Be envious. So church, if you constantly have those thoughts of envy, anger, resent, pride, check yourself. Are you in line with the Holy Spirit? It's pure. The Holy Spirit can never do one thing, tell you to destroy, to kill, to slander, to gossip. It is not of the Holy Spirit. If you do that, you are not in line for an inheritance. So you have the choice. The book of John says in chapter 14, verses 26, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything, every single thing you need to know as a royal, and make you remember all I have told you. So it's imperative we lead a life void of sin. It's important. Darkness can never drive away light. So church, are we sold out for Christ? Are we really sold out for Christ? Is our heart void of sin? Are you prepared to be a part of the kingdom? God's kingdom. I read the blog by one of us. Someone circulated a blog. I think she's amazing. And during the course of this, I picked something from what she sent. I mean, she's a member of the church. And I read, it says, have we allowed ourselves to be nourished and fed by the rain of God's Spirit and his word? Like a seed needing the nourishment of the sun and water to grow into a blossoming flower, are you sabotaging God's plan to make us into a beautiful expression of his handiwork? Because we do not understand the process he's taking us through, and not willing to stay the course. Are we filling our hearts and minds with the filth and garbage of this world that stunts the growth and prevents us from becoming the people that we have been created to be? What are those filth? Unforgiveness towards your neighbor, bitterness, anger, fear, sexual impurity, addiction. These are some of the weeds that can attach themselves to our heart, the church, and hinder the process of our growth. As the word says, faith cometh by hearing. It's imperative we read the word. we have to be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit to lead a life of void. As a church, we need to love our neighbors. We need to pray continually. The book of John says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. So church, I just want to encourage us that we all are benefactors from this kingdom. We need to open our minds and our hearts to God. It is a reminder. When I come to this church, I don't see baby Christians. I see people who have a heart for God. Sometimes life happens and we stay clear from the path that is chosen. It is difficult to serve God. It is difficult. There's so many distractions. Some beyond our control. But we do have a guarantee that despite whatever the affliction is, if we are righteous, He will see us through. If we are righteous, I'm sure if everyone here, they were given three simple rules and you become a royal and you become a heir apparent to the British royalty, I'm sure we'll all sit up. I would. But this is the spiritual. So I just want to encourage us all to do this. So we're going to continue in a time of prayers, asking for forgiveness. If you're here and you're thinking to yourself, I don't meet up to the standards. No one can. No one. No one living. But with the Holy Spirit in you, you can. It's free. It's not by your works. So we come to church not to look at each other and think, well, I'm better than this, I'm better than that. No, you're not. We're all here to pray. We're all here for one mission, to make it to heaven. It's okay to have doubt sometimes. We all do. We all do. But when we come here, sincerely seeking Christ, we are restored. Because and I can assure you that your job cannot give you that restoration. No amount of money, not your spouse, not your possession. Nothing on earth. So when you come here with humility, an open heart to love. And if that still voice tells you, be kind, that is the Holy Spirit. So we're just going to continue in time of prayers. If you want to be prayed with after church, feel free to sit in the front. We'll hold hands and pray as a church. It's a long-standing tradition in church to pray for one another, not to judge, to love. Come as you are. It doesn't matter what your problem is. And remember, as it says, you have to be born of water and the Spirit. The flesh gives birth to flesh. Baptism is an important rite in the church. So let's bow our heads in prayers. And while we welcome the worship team, oh Lord, we just thank you for your word. As we search our hearts sitting down here, Lord, you see better than we do. Cleanse us. Purify our thoughts. Lord, you're not a God that changes. You said many are the afflictions of the righteous, so Lord, we ought to expect it. And we also expect that you will deliver us, Lord. Lord, open the eyes of our heart. take away anger. Lord, take away anxiety. Take away everything that causes the Holy Spirit to grieve. Oh Lord, come into our hearts and bless us. Lord, bless us. We thank you for sending your Son to die for us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for making us become partakers of your kingdom, of your blessings. Lord, we do not merit it. Holy Spirit, abide in our hearts. Touch every heart here, Lord. May we not leave the same way we came. May we leave empowered. May we go into the streets of London loving people. Lord, restore our marriages. Heal the sick. Strengthen the weak amongst us, Lord. As a nation, Lord, at these trying times of uncertainty, be with us, O Lord. We pray for our leaders. O Lord, be with them. In your mighty name we have prayed. Amen. So we're just going to continue in some time of worship.
The Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you
and be gracious to you,
and the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.
The grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us forevermore. Amen.